Our first reading today is from the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Hear the word of the Lord. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God, and those authorities that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Do not wish to have no fear of the authority, then do what is good, and you will receive its approval. For it is God's servant for your good. But if you do what is wrong, you should be afraid, for the authority does not bear the sword in vain. It is the servant of God to execute wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also because of conscience. For the same reason, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, busy with this very thing. Pay to all what is due them, taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, honor to whom honor is due. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 20, verses 20 through 26. So they watched him, meaning Jesus, and sent spies who pretended to be honest in order to trap him by what he said, so as to hand him over to the jurisdiction and the authority of the governor. So they asked him, "Teacher, we know that you are right in what you say and teach, and show deference to no one, but teach the way of God in accordance with truth. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But he perceived their craftiness and said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose head and whose title does it bear?" They said, "The emperor's." He said to them, "Then give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God." And they were not able in the presence of the people to trap him by what he said. And being amazed by his answer, they became silent. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now, you've all heard it said that in the company of others, you should never talk about religion or politics, for we know how divisive they can be. You know, families have been torn apart because of conversations concerning religion or politics. Friendships have been broken. Enemies have been made. And yet you pay me every week to talk about religion. So maybe just once you'll bear with me as I talk about politics. And the reason I feel like this can be done is because our religion, our faith, should shape and mold and determine our politics. Some Christians would say that Christianity has nothing to do with the government or with politics, and we should just avoid it. If that's your view, I would suggest you need to go and read the Bible a little closer. Because throughout the Bible, government is talked about. We see Joseph, who was one of the patriarchs, first sold into slavery to Egypt, then thrown into prison, and then rising up to be second in command in all of Egypt, just under Pharaoh. That's government. That's politics. You have Daniel, a refugee, taken out of his own country, taken to Babylon, the headquarters there, and you see him rise up in the ranks of power in the Babylonian government. Of course, there's King David and King Solomon, and then the other kings of Judah and Israel, some of them good, some of them bad. But we can't escape the government that we have. Paul tells us that God is the one that establishes government for our own good. That we need to seek to obey the laws of government, for it's what keeps society held together in many ways. And so Paul speaks in favor of our governments. Jesus, they tried to put political labels onto Jesus. Most of Israel, they wanted to make him the Messiah, and their view of Messiah was the one that would come in and lead the rebellion to drive the Romans out and reestablish the kingdom of Israel back to the glory days of David. And what we just read, you saw where they were trying to get him to make a commitment either to the Roman government or to the rebellion against Rome. But Jesus saw their hypocrisy. He wouldn't fall into their trap. He said, you give to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, and you give to God the things that belong to God. He wouldn't buy in to one political side or the other. How he viewed politics, you can also look at who his disciples were. You had Matthew, the tax collector. Most Jews considered him a traitor. He'd sold out to the Romans. And yet Jesus called him to be a disciple. And then you have Simon the Zealot, all the way on the other extreme. Today he would probably be a terrorist, working behind the scenes to overthrow the government. I wonder how often Jesus had to kind of get between the two and keep them apart from one another. They came from such opposite sides. And yet in Christ, they came together. When Jesus was before Pilate, Pilate asked him, are you a king? That's what they're accusing you of. And he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my followers would be fighting right now. But my kingdom is from a different world. My kingdom is the kingdom of God. And that kingdom has different values than the values of the world. And that's kind of what I want to speak on today, are the values of the kingdom. And those values start with the command that Jesus gave that we are to love others. Even loving our enemies. That's a different value. Jesus says, or let me rephrase that. When we love others, we're going to seek the well-being of others in all different ways. I think that means we seek good quality education for all people, for all kids. You know, we seek to do away with racism and prejudice. We want health care for people. I think if you summed it up, and I have to be careful here, I sum it up with we need to be pro-life. Now, when you say pro-life, most people go specifically to one issue and one issue alone, and that is abortion. And I don't mean that by pro-life. When I say pro-life, I mean we are pro-life from the fetus to the dying and the dead and everything in between. We care for everyone. We care for everyone in all the different stages of their lives. And we want the well-being of everyone, friend and foe, people that agree with us, people that disagree with us. And we look at our society and where is there inequality? And we seek to bring justice there. We want a justice system that's fair for everyone and doesn't tend to favor the rich and the privileged over the poor. We need health care for people, whether that be Obamacare or some other form of health care. But we want people to have access to good health care. That's both the takes care of the physical, the mental, the spiritual, the social, the whole package. We need to be about these values that care for the poor, that care for the widow, the orphan, those that are considered least of these in society, for the immigrant, the refugee. You do remember that Jesus was a refugee as a baby. His parents had to flee Bethlehem for their lives, for his life, and go to Egypt. We have to care for these people because God cares for these people. Over and over in the Bible, God talks about his favor for the poor, the widow, the orphan, the least of these, the immigrants, the refugees, all of these folks, God cares for. Now, in our church, I know we have both Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals, and we seem to get along pretty well. And maybe that's because we kind of follow that rule I mentioned at the beginning, that we don't talk about politics in mixed company. But I would want to suggest to you that if we hold kingdom values, we should be able to talk about these matters. Not because we agree, hopefully we agree to the end result, that that value for pro-life for all people, that value of loving others, we hold to that end, that caring for those that are often ignored or taken advantage of in society. We have those common value. We may have different ways of getting there, and that's all right. The Bible doesn't prescribe an answer to every one of these problems. You may be for big government to try to solve all the social issues, or you may be for smaller government, less intrusive in the lives of people. But our goal should be the same, that all people are treated equally and have a fair shot at a decent life. I should be able to say to you that I am pro-Trump, and you don't question my Christian faith. Or I should be able to say to you, I am a Bernie Sanders socialist, and you shouldn't question my Christian faith. We can hold different views, and we can read the Bible in maybe some different ways, but we should still have that common value. And we seek to make that happen. Now, I also know that laws can't solve everything. You can write a law that says, that prevents racist behavior, but you can't take the racism and the hate and the prejudice out of someone's heart. You can make laws that say you are not to kill, but you can't take the anger and the hate and the desire to kill out of someone's heart. And we've been seeing this over the last 2 weeks, the pipe bombs, the man that went into the grocery store and shot two African Americans just because of the skin of their color. We saw that. And the man that went into the synagogue and killed people just because of their faith. You can't legislate that type of hatred in a person's heart. Only God can change a sinner into a saint. And that's why, as Christians, we're not just about the political solutions. We have to be about how do we work in people's lives, build these relationships that can allow God to change the sinner into the saint. I hope you plan on voting this Tuesday if you have not voted already. And as you go to the polls, I hope you will take your Christian values, your Kingdom of God values, and weigh that with the various candidates that you'll vote for, recognizing that no one political party, no one candidate is holding on to all these different values that we want to see as kingdom values. But we pray for discernment and pray that God would be at work through our government. Just as Paul said, our government's there for our well-being. We want to be praying for that government. We are very blessed to be in this country, for God has truly blessed this country in amazing ways. But I'm also very fearful for our country, because we see things like we saw with the pipe bombs and the killing in that grocery store, the killings in the synagogue. And we've seen where children are afraid to go to school because they don't know if someone will come in and start shooting. People are afraid to go to nightclubs, concerts, even houses of worship. God has blessed us. But I wonder, I fear, that if we do not hold on to the kingdom values, God may one day take those blessings away. So as Christians, let us renew our commitment to follow and live out kingdom values. Can we pray? Lord, we know this is an important election in a couple of days. And we have people here that are on different sides of the political spectrum. But help us as Christians to appreciate each other and the different views that we might have. But help us all to desire the values of your kingdom. Those values that care for each and every person, that seeks to love and not hate, that seeks the peace and the well-being and the wholeness of each person. So guide us in these matters. Be with our country. Let us be a light that does shine to the rest of the world for human dignity and human rights. For we pray this in the name of Jesus, the King of the kingdom that we are citizens of, the kingdom of God. In his name, amen.